Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, John Schwab here from Curtain Call, and welcome to episode 75 of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, the podcast that brings you backstage as close as you possibly can be, often while the shows are actually happening, to meet the people that make that theater happen. If you are a theater professional or you know any, make sure you or they go to curtaincallonline.com and sign up for a free theater professional profile today. All you need is an email address, and it's absolutely free. And now for this week's podcast. Last week, I had the privilege of catching up with my Yellow Face family at the Park Theater, where we had opened the show 5 years ago. God, it's a little scary just saying that. That play was produced by Special Relationship Productions, a company founded by American actor Kevin Shin and English actor Lucy Fenton. They wanted to bring lesser-known plays to a wider audience and also give greater exposure to underrepresented groups in theater, particularly ethnic minorities and women. Now, Special Relationship are back at the Park with There or Here, Jen Maisel's new play about connections, both real and virtual, when a couple outsource their surrogate pregnancy to an agency in India. We saw the show on its first preview, and it was in fantastic shape, getting a lot of laughs from the get-go. And they've gone on to get some good notices, especially applauding the entirely female BAME and or LGBTQ plus cast and crew, something you just don't see enough of on stage. And so I applaud their forward thinking. I sat down and talked to the entire cast, both of the producers, because one of them is in the cast, and the playwright backstage at the Park pre-matinee. That's a lot of us in a small dressing room, but it was perfectly cozy, and we had a lot to talk about, and had a lot of fun in the process. Have a listen.
Hi, I'm Kevin Shen. I'm the producer of There or Here.
Hi, I'm Lucy Fenton. I'm an actor. I'm playing Robin, and I'm also the producer.
Hi, I'm Raki Thakra, and I play Neera.
Hello, I'm Ursula Mohan, and I play Ellen and Dr. Vittel.
Okay. Hi, I'm Chris Nayak, and I play AJ.
Hi, I'm Manish Gandhi, and I'm playing Raj and Rajiv.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Maisel, and I'm the playwright.
Brilliant. I'm glad we have a full complement. I must just point out that it's not a musical, because we hear someone warming up upstairs. Yeah. Let's just go back to, let's start with the playwright. Why not, Jenny? Let's just kind of, what was your inspiration? And this is kind of a three-part question. So inspiration hasn't been put on before. I know this is a European premiere. Mm-hmm. So, and then the kind of, what brought it over? And
So inspiration was, I was reading the LA Times, and then there was an article about a doctor in India who had really become the person who's the face of outsourcing pregnancies for foreign couples, mm-hmm, from India.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was a wildly rich theatrical premise, mm-hmm, and started writing. And I think I started with a phone call between Neera and Robin. Actually, yeah, that was the first scene, the Star 4372 scene, yeah, that I wrote. And it just took off from there, because I love the way it was about technology and making the world smaller, mm, while it's and crossing cultures.
Yeah, I mean, that can be, just to jump in there, that can, mm-hmm, be a problem with modern playwriting, is that technology takes away, because people can connect so easily, mm-hmm, it's quite hard to show on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you did really well there with the phone calls and the emails. And
Thank you.
Seems to be a special, yeah, relationship thing with phone calls and emails.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to make that connect. Right. Yeah.
I keep saying that my experience being here, since my family is in LA, is like exactly like this time zone thing,
yeah,
because I get to talk to them for 4 seconds a day,
yeah,
in between their day and my day, and I'm always up in the middle of the night not knowing what time it is there.
Perfect.
So the second part of the question was,
when did it first go on? Yeah,
it was workshopped at a new play festival called Playpen,
mm-hmm,
that has every summer, takes 4 plays and does a 3-week workshop of it. And then the woman who directed it there, Amy Feinberg, is also the artistic director of a theater in New York called Hypothetical Theater.
Okay.
And they did the New York premiere. And then it's had other readings. It was recorded for KPCC, which is a NPR station in Southern California.
You love NPR?
Yeah. And then Lucy met my manager, Jen Ray, and they were chatting, and Jen called me up and said, hey, I met this wonderful producer, and this is what they're looking for, a play that has to do with race and gender, and what do you have? And I said, I have this, and it turned out to be the right piece.
Yeah, because you guys, I know that you guys have been looking for a play. I mean, you did Yellowface. You brought Yellowface to the park as well, so you're back home.
Yeah.
Special Relationship Productions back home. How has that search been? Because I know that this kind of takes over from that, from Jen. So how...
We read a lot. It was quite hard to find stuff written by women.
Yeah.
And about, you know, gender, race, that, you know, that ticked all the boxes and that was also funny.
Yeah.
We kind of like to have the comedic, you know, if you're going to make a political point, let's do it with some laughs rather than hitting people over the head with it. So, but we read loads and loads and loads of plays and found Jen's play, and then obviously I had a baby.
Yeah. Very selfish.
So it was a bit of a hiatus for
her on her
years.
Own without a surrogate.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's true.
Your partner was involved as well, then, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just you on your own.
Yeah. And from then, was it just quite a quick thing to kind of go, right, we've got a slot at the park and let's go out casting?
No, it still was a year. Well, we did a little workshop of the play just because we wanted to make sure it was great for British audiences.
Yeah.
Because we were playing around with, like, oh, do we make them a British couple? Do we keep them American? And so we did a year of workshopping it. Jen was lovely and did a little redrafting for us. And Ursula was in this original workshop a year ago, so she's been with us for a year. And then just the hunt for a venue and kind of like other areas and where it's going to fit best. And then we ultimately decided to come back to the park. So it always, you think it's going to be much faster. I mean, you think coming off the back of the National is going to be a lot easier.
Yeah.
Still, and I think also still in this industry, we're like, we're taking a play by a woman with, you know, a cast of minorities.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's still not the easiest thing to pitch in this city.
Yeah, no, so, I get it. You know, that was, I mean, from Yellowface, I mean, just the kind of, I suppose the awareness is growing so kind of slow. Yeah. And the fact that it's still an issue, like, it shouldn't be an issue.
Right.
You know, that's the thing that gets, that's insane. So, I mean, I applaud, like, you guys for doing it. And,
thank you.
I mean, if I can talk to the cast now,
I'm going to step out to give a touch tour to a blind patron today. So
See?
We're just so accessible. good. You guys have a
write all your nice letters to Kevin Shen. thanks, Kevin. So getting the script, I mean, this is a funny script. We, you know, I'll just predicate it. I've seen it. I saw the first preview, and I just said, like, when you see your first preview and there's that many laughs, when you guys are trying to see where the comedy lands with an audience, you're kind of working it out as you're going along. There was a lot of laughter, and it was a kind of mix of a sympathetic audience and people who didn't know. So that was, again, really, really encouraging to see. When you got the script, how did it land with you, and was it refreshing, just talking about the issues, to see, you know, a BAME play, you know, as it were, that addresses, like, issues where actually the characters have, they're not the baddies, or they're not the stereotypical, you know, minority that comes in and ticks the box. I mean, what was it like to get that script? And
I think it's one of the first scripts I've seen in quite a while where you do have a range of ethnic characters that get to put a lot of different perspectives across. You know, like you say, often it's the case that it's the good guy or the bad guy, or it's the oppressed person, the unoppressed person. And actually, it's really nice to hear that many angles on ethnicity. I think that's something this play does really well. And also on gender.
Yeah.
You know, there are more women than men in this cast, which is a great thing, and not something that happens enough.
Yeah.
And yet you get to see so many aspects of gender relationships and race relationships.
Yeah. Anyone else want to jump in? Or?
Well, I just remember, because I read it a year ago, it? We did the workshop a year ago, first of all. And I remember when I first read it, I couldn't put it down. You know, when you read a play, we read lots of plays, and you think, if you put the script down, that means halfway through, it means it's not so interesting. Mm-hmm. But this I did read right to the end straight away. And it's changed quite a bit from the first go. There's lots of cuts and changes and additions. And I just found it really moving and thoughtful. Interestingly enough, I was surprised by a lot of the laughter.
I knew there was laughter, but
there were things that I didn't get, you know, and I know I'm pretty stupid, but I didn't, but there were jokes I didn't get, so it was a shock.
Actually, it's lovely that you came on the first night, and we've done four shows since then. And every show has had laughs, but often in completely different places. Which is taken us totally by surprise and has been quite fun to see different audiences, you know, different every night. Does feel a bit.
See different reactions, and really have been different.
Yeah.
I mean, some people have been really shocked by some of the scenes and some of the particularly... Well, the early scenes. I won't even mention it on your pod.
I have a moment. I have a moment alone on stage. That really shocks
me. It wasn't shocking. We've all been there.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You'll have to come see it.
I know that when Rocky and I saw it for the first rehearsal, we screamed, didn't we?
We did. It was in the script, but I think I just like kind of, I don't know, it just hadn't registered, and then we saw Chris do it for the first time.
And she
like also just grabbed my hand and we just moved it right ahead. It was so.
Are we seeing this?
I mean, we're painting a picture of what this might have seen.
Yeah. I mean, listen, on that moment and lots of different moments. Because you're in quite an intimate space, I mean, you just feel like you're in the room. So actually, there is, I think, to go back to your point about the different reactions, both of you have different reactions, that people feel there is no space. To be able to not be invested. So when you're saying anything or doing anything or actions or anything, they're with you.
So
that moment, or there are some really touching moments where, you know, Raki, you can see your just a little switch from, you know, from you reading your script as a telephone marketer to just to being a person on the end of the phone.
I think that's the beauty of the scenes you've written there, Jen, is that I never felt like I had to try to find that in a way. I thought like it just sort of happened. You know, the relationship with Robin and Neera, or Angelina, every scene has evolved to a different stage of their relationship. And me and Lucy, we were like, oh, we thought we were in it a lot more together. Mm. And actually, we're not. When you take the scenes apart, they're very short. But because every time you come back, they're tighter as a friendship. That's so nice to see
they
two women being mates. And
don't
no, they do.
They're so full.
They're so full. They come along and they're, you know, the friendship spans over a year in the end, doesn't it?
So you see the leap from the beginning of the, you know, calling up just for technical support and then at the end sort of the support that there is between the two of them.
Yeah.
It's really cool. What's it like jumping in halfway into a play? You know, you guys, they're already hot. They're already on stage. And then you kind of come in and you kind of, because I did think, well, who's this guy? You know, we haven't seen him. What's happening? So
I enter just before the first act finishes. So it's nice for me to like listen to the play and know where people are laughing. It helps me to like sort of gauge the audience in terms of, and I think we were talking yesterday, me and Ursula, that it's it can in a way dictate how I take certain scenes, like and how I behave in terms of how emotional do I want to be, how much storytelling I want it to be, if the audience is laughing at obvious jokes or are they like newfound jokes. And I think it just helps me to gauge the how the audience is and just respond to it, which I think I find really exciting.
Yeah.
And it's fresh for me every night to do different things. I think that's like a dream of any actor.
What did you say to me yesterday, that if there is a laugh on when I say 100 years ago, he feels fine.
Yeah.
But if there isn't, some nights
there
hasn't
been.
It wasn't yesterday.
Depends on how fact hungry the audience is. 100 years ago, they're going, I've got it's the joke. But do you, I mean, technically, just as a performer, like, you know,
you can't really prepare yourself for that, really, can you? Until you get into a space and kind of come in and read the audience.
I think because everyone else is doing such a great job at like keeping the stage really hot. So I think in a way it's easy for me to just come in and just be there and have my own space whilst everyone is doing their bit. So I think it just helps with working with really experienced actors.
Yeah. I've got to say that he does come on quite early because he moves all the scenery. He does nothing but move scenery, poor guy, for the first half.
Very, very big.
That's
why
I wrote the part.
Very quick changes. I'm going to go on a different tangent, and Lucy,
yeah,
being the producer,
yeah,
and being the actor in a cast is, I mean, I can imagine. I've never done it, but I've been in the room where it's happened with Yellowface,
yeah.
and it can be. It's weird because it can be weird, which we kind of quashed really quickly with Yellowface, but. Because you have to answer questions that not normally an answer would be coming from one of the performers on stage. So how did you address that, and how did you, was it?
Yeah, I mean, we learnt from Yellowface. So Kevin was still helping a little bit with Yellowface on the producing side during the first week of rehearsals.
Yeah.
And basically the director called us both up and said, stop it. He needs to have his head more in the room. And then so as soon as rehearsals started, I turned off all my emails to do with any kind of production and things like that, and I haven't actually been able to answer any questions because I haven't really known what the answers are.
Yeah.
And I've, you know, I haven't really looked at any of the stuff like sales or marketing or any of that kind of stuff. No more than like Castwood in terms of tweeting and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's keeping it really compartmentalised, I think, is the way to do it.
I didn't even know that you were. Yeah. Well, when I auditioned for this, Lucy was in the room. And I didn't know that you were producing the show. We read a scene together in my audition, so I thought, well, I hope she gets the job, because that seemed to, you know, having no idea she
gets
the job.
It's going to be a bit awkward if she didn't.
Imagine. Yeah, producing it, but didn't get cast. So you've had to put a different hat on, basically, haven't you?
And it's been a really long process, because we found the play before I had the babies,
I already have a kid. I'm like, just take your time.
Yeah. You think you can do everything now, and you do.
Yeah.
Well, I really can't. So yeah, no. I think if people are going to do it, I think you do have to be able to step away. Or we've got Kevin's producing, and then we brought on board Anita Creed, and she's been amazing.
Yeah.
Like, she's taken all the stuff that I was sort of doing the last time as well. So
useful. Very
really,
useful.
Really great.
How quick, Curtain Call is all about the backstage element, and we're here sitting in your dressing room. And I love kind of coming back to meet a cast after I've seen a show, and you guys work really well on stage. You could tell it, you can really tell in a play if a cast doesn't get on.
Because
you can tell there's an engagement that goes beyond. You know, the characters you're playing, there's an absolute trust. And that trust has to start here, you know, before it goes on stage. So it was really good to see. I was like, oh, I bet you they have fun backstage and have gelled really well as a team. So I wanted to ask how quick that happened, because it seemed to me that you guys were all just on the same page and driving it together. And it wasn't one person carrying a show. So it's as an ensemble piece as well. I mean, how quickly did you guys gel as a team?
Yeah. Yeah.
We all got on straight away,
didn't we?
Everyone's really generous, I think, is what I think about the rest of the cast. So, I'd worked with Ursula before, and she's just my mum.
No one came in with an ego. Everyone came in with, like you say, generousness. And openness, and that was, it was really lovely.
Yeah, we're all so different, but we're all the same.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I
think we got quite hammered early on.
Yeah.
That always helps.
Yeah, we went out for a few.
First Friday.
Yeah, we missed dinner and went drinking, and that really helped to to get everything out. And
And we're
yeah, you're right, early
here
doors.
We are.
Definitely.
We've
yeah,
all been yeah, yeah. in this same dressing room for a week, and it's all been jollity
yeah.
and
mm.
fun.
Yeah.
And it's not really, we've all been stuck in here, haven't we?
Yeah.
Come back
under
in 3 weeks,
ground.
Though.
Silence.
I'll ask
Silence.
A little update.
And you've been at the room, Jen, you've been from the start. Were you in the room during rehearsals?
Yeah, I came in, I think, the second day. I was here the first week. I stepped out for a little bit so that they could get their lines without thinking that I was caring if they didn't quite have them yet and came back in and I love being part of the process. It's that to me the best part of writing.
Some people don't like that. I mean, I've directed a few plays. Mm-hmm. I love the playwright being, especially when it's new work as well, mm-hmm. just because there is a massive collaborative mm-hmm. nature of it. But you know, I think it could be helpful for the actors as well. It's for just clarity. I mean, I know the director mm-hmm. is the kingpin. You know, they're the captain of the ship. However, you know, going back to the original intent, I think is never such a bad thing to ask about. Or
and
was that on offer? And was it?
It was on offer. I mean, we talked quite a bit about AJ, and then I said, you know, I can tell you things, and you may decide something else, and then that's fine. That to me is, I don't have every answer, and I want to hear answers from them, because that's
I sometimes
the beauty
think
of
as
it.
Well, when it's a new piece of writing, it can be a real tightrope, because you're right, having the writer there does allow you to get back to those intentions. But I think there's a danger as an actor that you don't solve things for yourself, because you go, oh, well, you know, if that bit's not working, maybe we'll just rewrite it or cut it or whatever. And actually, sometimes it's good to go, well, why isn't it working? We haven't solved this in the room. You know, let's as you would have to do if you didn't have the writer, or as you'd have to do if it was a Shakespeare or a Chekhov or something like that. You go, hang on, there was an original intention here. Let's see if we can solve it. So, our director was good, wasn't he, at kind of working out when it was useful and when it wasn't, and making that, I felt, anyway.
Yeah.
He's amazing. He's been involved.
Right,
for a year
the
beginning,
now.
Yes,
and he's
been fantastic.
Excellent,
lovely.
And lastly, just being in this space, you know, Park Theatre is a fantastic venue. You know, it's really easy to get to, but you know, as a black box and a small black box, it's an amazing space. I don't know what it is. It's like quite easy to kind of go in and feel we're not in a fringe venue, you know. This is, you guys are fine. Yes. This is normally people go, shh. You know, what's it been like here? And I'd love to get, you know, everyone jump in. What it's been like in this space, you know, in this.
Well, it's quite crowded backstage at the moment because we've got a big musical happening. So there's a lot of people about.
16 actors.
They're all lovely. I mean, everybody, you know, we're all very polite and everything, and we're all getting on. Nobody's bumping into each other. But it's full.
The newspaper runs out.
You know. There is
especially on press night.
Really?
There you go. The scoop.
We got the poop scoop. Excellent. Excellent.
I was going to say that we don't have spaces like this in the U.S. and I really wish that we did, especially in L.A., where you're always driving an hour to get to the play that you want to see, and it'd be really nice if you had that kind of sense of community where people would come in and be sitting at their laptop or have food and drinks and two plays going on at once. And I look at this as like a very hopeful model for something that could
happen
there.
There you go, Jess. Start another one in LA.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
It's just me.
In my neighborhood.
Yeah. No, it is. Listen, I you know, if New York is the home of the musical, and London is definitely the home of the new play, and you see it, and it's much more a business in New York. I mean, I know that because we've in constant contact with them, but it is, you know, new plays just seem to find a real following here, and it's good that it's good that they're here, which is now here, once there. It's here. Guys, I've taken so much of your time. Thank you so much, and have a great
Thank you.
Thank you.
Actor, producer.
Yeah.
When and what and where can people get tickets and websites and everything else? Yeah. Give us some info.
Okay, so website is www.parktheatre.co.uk and go through to what's on and then click for there or here. And the shows are 7:45 every night and a 3:15 matinee on Thursdays and Saturdays. So not every night, Tuesday to Saturday.
Yeah.
Matinees Thursdays and Saturday, and there's a Babes in Arms performance and a caption performance, but I don't have those to mine.
They'll be on the
immediately
website.
They're on the website.
Next Wednesday's Babes in Arms,
which will be interesting, won't it?
Yeah. So, I've not done that with Babies in the Woods.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And last. Yeah. What next for a special relationship?
We've got to find the next play.
So should anybody have a play?
Yeah, well, we
look at the playwright, Jed and Lucy having little words.
But we would really, really love to get submissions from any BAME female playwrights and on a kind of comedic political bent. And if they can put me and Kevin in it, that's
brilliant.
Excellent.
And all of us. All right, guys, thank you so much.
Before we wrap up here, if you are a theater professional and you want to join the network built by theater professionals for theater professionals, a network that grows every day, then head on over to curtaincallonline.com and sign up for a free Curtain Call profile with just an email address. You can also upgrade to a pro profile that gives you access to a bunch of bonus features like on-the-go notes, unlimited videos and sound clips, pictures, applying for jobs, doing team sheets, show reports. It's a huge thing for us all in the theater to use. It helps us get on with our day and a lot of stress and time-saving ways. Now, you can follow us on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, at Curtain Call. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any suggestions or feedback for the podcast, just get in touch with us via any of the social media platforms I just mentioned, or you can write to me personally at john@curtaincallonline.com. That's John with an H. It leaves me to say a big old thank you to the company of There or Here. Go to the Park Theater's website. There's a link in the show notes, where you will also find a link to Nicola Chang's website. She's the sound designer and the composer of the music you have been hearing in this episode. There or Here runs at the Park Theater in Finsbury Park until the 17th of February. Grab a ticket. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, and I will catch you all next week. Bye.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.